Amen. Lord, we thank you for another fine night with all of my brothers and sisters. And Lord, we thank you that you're leading us, you're guiding us. You have the wisdom to understand what we need to be speaking about tonight. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests that we need to address before we get going? I do. Lord, I thank you that the pharmaceutical companies, all the doctors, nurses, medical establishment are being exposed even as we speak. And I thank you, Father, for the ruling of the Supreme Court that came against the COVID vaccines and how they came about it. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord. This will be a step to take down the deadly pharmaceuticals and medical system in this United States. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. They, RFK came to the Supreme Court to get permission to go after the pharmaceuticals and the people involved in this COVID debacle that's killed millions of people all over the world. And Supreme Court agreed. I don't know what the particulars were other than this. They're going to Nuremberg type action against them. And that means the military is involved. They will go arrest and do what's necessary to shut down the killing that they've been doing. If I'm not mistaken, now, I haven't delved, but just briefly on what I'm telling you there, that's all I know. I don't. That's all. That's basically it. It was in AMG News if you wanted to look and see about it today. And also, Lord, I just let me pray for that. For Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for bringing down the pharmaceuticals and the people involved that brought about this great killing that they've done all over the world. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you'll find these CEOs that are rushing to get out of town, to get out of the way, to hide. And I thank you, Father, for exposing them, exposing the doctors, exposing the all the people that are involved, the media, and all of them that are involved, that were involved in this COVID-19 debacle that they killed so many people. I had people in my family die from it. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for right what was wrong in Jesus' name. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father. And we're going to see some good out of this, I suspect. Another thing that I want to pray about is the establishment of not establishment, up in the Senate, they are debating whether or not to go on break or vote for the Save America Act. Now, that is crazy, but that's the mainly what it is. You know what the Save America Act is? That's voting. You have to have a photo ID in order to vote. That's one of the main things. Yeah, let's go on vacation. I'm ready. That's what they wanted. That's what Thune wanted to do. Well, 15 of them came back and said, no, we don't need to go on vacation. We need to pass this act before we do. And they said, well, we can't because we don't. Thune is saying we can't because we don't have the votes. And Cruz said, well, that's not a reason. Excuse me. That's not a reason to go on vacation. We can do a, what they call it, a filibuster. That's a certain kind of filibuster where everybody gets to get up and tell why or why not they don't want or do want the act, and it'll put them on the spot. And that's what they're doing now. But Father God, I just act, I ask, and I pray, Lord, that whether they want to or not, that if they don't want to do this, the ones that don't want to do this, that you would replace them with an angel that would do it for them. And I thank you, Father, for doing that, that they would have a complete majority to vote on this thing and pass it and get it out there in the public. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
And we also bind their stalling and their delaying
Amen.
and coming up with excuses not to address this and pass it. They it's just a part of their plans and schemes, Lord, and we cast it all down. We speak failure to it in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for working in their lives, their situations, their hearts, and causing this to go forward, that they will vote on it and it will pass. And everything that's getting in the way, we send the angels to clean it all up. And however that looks, God, what needs to be done in the name of Jesus, we forbid it. We forbid this, the stall tactics, the delay tactics, the dragging their feet,
Amen.
their making all kinds of excuses. And you know, this kind of thing would not work in any kind of other job, corporate America or anywhere else. It's like, do your job. You can't go on vacation till you get your work done. You can't leave this mess and wait for it to come back. You have to do it. So, Laura, thank you for giving them no options but to do their job. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Pat.
Father, we thank you for this apparent resistance that's in the Senate and in our congressmen. Lord, we thank you because of the resistance. They seem to be opposing the Save America Act and opposing the righteous requirement to require photo IDs or IDs, identification and proof of citizenship, which is obviously legitimate, but it is being opposed. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that this opposition, that you have allowed it, that you have a purpose in it, and that you're raising up the solution, even as we speak and pray. We thank you, Lord, that you are greater than these things, and we put our confidence and trust in you, that you are able to take down this deep state in their own devices. Lord, we would ask that you would
Amen.
bring about the revelation to each and everyone that is resisting this act, that you would bring about the revelation that their past actions that may be causing them guilt or causing people to control them, that they would be threatened to reveal the truth, to uncover the truth. And so, Lord, we thank you for all the necessary motivation that it's going to take to bring about this action of bringing in the Save America Act and to transform this country. And we thank you for it, Lord. We praise you for your mercy. We thank you for your great power and authority over all of these things, and we trust you to bring it pass. Lord, we commit this way into your hands, and thank you that that you and you alone can resolve the situation. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Missy, did you have something? That's okay if you didn't.
Yeah. And a couple things. I went on. I'm late getting in because I was out on the walk and got hung up talking to a lady over in the other part of the neighborhood, and we got
I can
talking
believe
Jesus,
that.
and it was good. And the Lord put it in me. There's a lady, her name is Susie, that she's dyslexic, and I don't think she's saved. And I've talked to her before, and she has a hard time reading because of it. And the Lord popped her into my mind because the other was it just today I realized that Adobe Acrobat now has that any document or whatever, it will read it for you now. And it used to not do that, but now it will. Like I used to, well, if it did, it was limited to how big of a document, but now, like I had a hidden manna up and it would read it to you if you wanted it to. Yeah. So anyway, it's one of those digital voices, but if you have this dyslexic whatever, but anyway, so the Lord put it popped that into my mind as I was passing by her house to go give her one of the little tracts that I have, and I gave it to, I rang her doorbell a couple times, she finally answered, and I gave that to her and explained, you know, what to do or whatever, because I told her before I would try and set her up with an app that she could that would read a book to her or whatever. Anyway, so I hadn't seen her in quite a while. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you will put it in Susie, to really go to the site and look at the books, Sovereign God, number one, and Real Good News, and that she will go to them and let Adobe read it to her, Lord, and read along. And that, thank you, Lord, that when she repents and believes in you, Lord, and that she is healed from this dyslexia in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you. And I just thank you, Lord, for the great talk I had with Joyce. I thought before when I talked to her, she might be a Christian, but I really talked, we really talked, and she was saying about her daughter and son-in-law. They sit down and read the word in the morning together before they go to work and stuff. And they have a 4-month-old, their first grandchild. And so, Lord, I thank you, Lord. And we were really talking Jesus. And I think they've even helped her come along in her faith too. And I pray her husband too, Jim. I just thank you, Lord, for bringing them all to the full knowledge of the truth, Lord, that they all, in these times coming, Lord, know that you are their refuge, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for giving them all Psalm 91 protection. And even her, their son, I think, is the way she talked was a good a Christian man too. So I thank you, Lord, for this family and that they be good and supportive of each other in their belief and encourage each other on, and that they be with a group of Christians, Lord, that they would come into the man child ministry. Come, I gave Joyce a flyer too, and I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, that I could give her a track too. And she said she was talking about something. She said, what would Jesus do? Ding, 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 ding. Because I have these wristbands with 5 of them, I think, 5 different ones with scriptures on. And I said, I said, what would Jesus do? I pulled these out and I said, do you want one of these? She goes, sure. She took the one that said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And it was a green one. So, but anyway, Thank you, Lord, that she will wear it. I like wearing it. Now and then I'll change to a different one, but it's just when you see it on your wrist, it's just a constant reminder, you know. It's pretty cool. Some people think it's juvenile-ish or whatever, but I don't look at it that way. I don't care if it's it's I'm not fashion savvy. I don't care if it clashes with whatever. I don't care, Lord. Yep. Ah, oh, Angelica gave you one.
Yeah.
Yeah, praise the Lord. So thank you, Lord. That just made my day. Thank you, Lord, that I did not go out and take a walk or anything until this evening. Your timing is perfect, Lord. I just felt impressed to do that, and I just praise you and thank you, that you've put it in me to go prepared with my tracks and my little wristbands if anybody wants one. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing people across my path all the time, Lord. No matter where I am, that I'm prepared, and I thank you, Lord, for always keeping us all kingdom-minded, Lord. That no matter wherever you are and what we're doing, that Lord, that we're always ready to share you with whoever, Lord, or pray with whoever. And I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Anyone else got anything they'd like to share? I'll tell you a little, just a little testimony. I've been going over to this park for quite some time. Plantation Park is what I call it. And the last, I don't know, week or so, maybe week and a half or so, I'd be going over there and there would be an awful oppressive spirit there and fear, a spirit of fear in there. And I would pray and it would be okay for a little while. And then the next day I'd come back over there. It'd have that same spirit there. This is a big park. It's... Anyway, I went over there night before yesterday. Or was it yesterday? Anyway, it was really, really prevalent. And so I was able to get a hold of Julie and we both prayed against that spirit. Only I couldn't get a hold of anyone, David or any of them. So I called Julie and she helped me. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we bound that demon from coming back and had the angels spread out across that, bless that park, that no more demonic interference. I think it was witchcraft. I'm almost certain that's what it was witchcraft against that. And today I went, well, it lifted, as you probably already know, it lifted while we were praying. And so we stationed angels around it and told them to keep them out of there from this point on. And we just blessed that park. And today I went back over there and it was completely free, completely free. The angels are still there. And this is a big park. This park is about 1,500 acres. And but where the house plantation, this is the McGee plantation. And the McGees were a very lucrative farm slash made bricks back in the day with slaves and that kind of thing. It was a big park. And matter of fact, the McGee Tyson Airport in Knoxville is named after the McGees. And anyway, they gave that park, that 1,500 acres there to the state of Tennessee for a park right there. And that's a beautiful park, in my opinion. It's a beautiful park. It's got walks all through it that you can just walk for miles and miles and miles if you wanted to. And it's right there by the lake too. But anyway, That witchcraft is ceased. It's no longer in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that there's not going to be any more oppressive spirits there in Jesus' name. I'll tell you another, just a little short one. There's another park over, I forget the name, Blockhouse Park, on the other side. It's all Cherokee stuff. And I was praying there one day, and I just asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, I'd like to see a big angel stationed right there where that blockhouse is. It's a place, Pat, where the Indians and the people there come together and trade and whatever back in the day." And every time I go back over there, when the day that we were praying, that a big angel showed up, or he was big as that house. Well, he was a big angel, and he just stood there. And every time that I came back after that, that angel was standing there. It's not a great big park either. It's just a nice little small park, and people come walk their dogs and that kind of thing. But that big angel, I went over there, oh, a week or so. This was happened last summer. I went back over there about a week ago, and that big angel was still there at that block house. It's a blessed park. When you bless a park, it's blessed. And that's the authority that God has given us to do. And the power, golly, this is awesome. And anyway, that's my little testimony. Go ahead, Julie.
Hey Michael, didn't you tell me too that plantation park area, that 1500 acres, whatever, with all the trails, didn't you tell me that before there were all kinds of people that were using it and stuff, but they hadn't been using it for weeks?
That's right. I could go over there before, and there'd be people walking up down the road there. Miss, you know where the road goes down to the lake. And they'd walk down there and come back, or they'd go up to the plantation park and come back. It's not a real long walk. But that's what they do. And therefore, gosh, maybe a week, maybe not quite a week, there was nobody. I was the only one on in that park, and I suspect that they were running people off with their witchcraft and stuff.
Did we pray for the to be for people to come back? Okay, I thought so. I can't remember.
There was three, let's see, one, two cars there today when I came in, so they're starting to come back now. So that's the if I told you that to let you know the authority that we have. If something like that happens to you, we can come against it, and you know, and declare it, and get it out of there. That's all it is. And by the way, they have on at this plantation, some of y'all that don't know, it was a great big house that was there. The McGee House hold had a bunch of slaves back in the 1800s, and a bunch of slaves there. And the slaves would make bricks out of the red dirt that was there. And they'd sell those bricks. And they'd ship them out with the, at the, on the lake there, the river, I guess what that is, Tennessee River. And there is a cemetery across the little road there that the slaves used to bury their people. And it's just a real nice setup there. It's really nice. I like it. I love it out there. But people started coming back. There was a number of them there today. All right, anyone else?
Michael,
Yeah, Debbie.
that's the place that I told you I haven't been to yet. I want to get there. Maybe tomorrow with Angelica we can go there.
Yeah,
You
I love it
know.
out there.
Yeah.
I've had I've got you can't drive you nobody can drive a
Yeah.
vehicle back there now, but I went to the head guy and I told him what I did, and he said, "Well, Well, yeah, you just go on back there and said if they have any problems with it, tell them to call me. I said,
Oh.
okay, I'll do that. So I can drive my truck back to the park. And I take my chair back there, my Bible, and go back there and pray and read the word a lot. I've done that in the past. Then they put those red signs up there that says no unauthorized vehicle. People were going, this is how fast this thing is. People were traveling all over the place out there and getting lost, and they'd have to call somebody to come get them. So that's why they put them up there. Yeah, Debbie, you need to go out there. That's a nice place.
Yeah, I think I will.
Yeah, Pat.
So, what do you suspect the significance of that place is? I mean, it's obvious that you returned the dominion of that space back over to the Lord. So I guess I'm trying to think, what was the catch there? What was the devil doing with that space?
You have satanic cults that'll target parks where people go to walk and that kind of thing. And they don't want them there. They'll do sacrifices to keep them out of there because of their stuff that they do, I suppose. I saw
What
that's
was McGee? Was he? When was this? What in the early 1800s or some time around there?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure
Obviously, it
how
had to
far
be
back it
before
goes.
the Civil War, you know.
Yeah. Well, when the Civil War ended, the slaves still stayed there for quite some time and worked for the McGees and in this brick making process, and also on the farm. They had a farm there also, agricultural farm. And they worked there. Apparently, they were a little more benevolent than, a lot of the slave owners. So I don't know. Yeah, Julie.
Interesting.
I've learned and I've experienced things just. It's not necessarily even parks. It's the land, wherever they may be, and being out where there's woods, forests, all that kind of stuff where people are hidden, where these Satanists and cultic stuff is happening. They have these places set up. I mean, I don't know if you've all heard or not, but like Bohemian Grove, that kind of thing, that's notorious for. But this is out in the woods where they've had these all kinds of things done out there. But it's a land thing. I think it's just wherever. When I was up visiting some people up in Washington here some years back and stuff, they were telling me too that there's witches, there's covens, there's all kinds of things in the woods up there. And where there's forests and there's rocks, there's mountains, there's all kinds of stuff where there's just bad people hanging out. And they go there, they go there and they do their things. So it's but I can see where parks would be, a territorial area because a lot of people come there and they don't want people around there. But even just up in the hills, here, even around here, I know there's witch. I feel it sometimes. I just feel there's witchcraft being done. Anyway. So,
Yeah.
I don't know. Thank you, Lord. You have given us that authority and dominion over the land. The meek shall inherit the earth, And there's a lot of in Psalm 37. There's about a lot of verses about the land and taking the land and having, it's ours. So, thank you, Lord, giving us opportunities to practice and to use that authority and to see you do it, and the angels are doing it, and the warfare that's going on in the heavenlies when we speak the word and we command and we send the angels. There's your word is true and it doesn't come back to you void. And we praise you, Lord, that we have this opportunity. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, I will say this also. It's good to have someone that you can call and pray with, because one sends 1,000, two sends 10,000. And I can tell you this much, going over there for those for as long as I have now, this whole summer, the oppression and the fear would gain strength. Just about every time I go over, it'd be a little bit more, a little bit more. And you can command it to go and keep it gone, but the next day it'd be back a little bit better. But when you got someone else praying with you, if it gets, that away, you got someone else doing it. Man, they hightail it out of there and they don't come back for a while, because the angels are out there mopping them up. And I believe that that place is going to be free of any kind of demonic activity before it's over with, because I ain't going to have it. I just ain't going to have it. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
Never mind. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's see, Debbie. We can laugh about that. Oh, me. So, Debbie, if you and Angelica go out there, just before you go up there, just pray all the way down there in the spirit. There you go. That'd be good.
We will definitely
Yeah.
that.
It was real strong the other day, is the reason I called Judy to help me. Real strong. And there were some things that I saw that it looked to me like it was some strange. Somebody had gone over there. Missy, you've been over to the plantation, haven't you? You know the brick wall that used to be around the house. That is probably about waist high or more. Somebody been over there knocking it down. Looked like they've been kicking it and banging on it and what have you, knocking it down. So I suspect they were getting bricks to curse or whatever it was. I can't imagine the Rangers being over there doing that. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, could be just vandalism. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
This might be a bit off of the subject. I'm not quite sure what subject we're on here tonight, but I'd like to an interesting thing that the Lord has been taking me through. And it's kind of connected with this whole the med bed scenario that is on the horizon here. And anyway, a couple months ago, I don't know if I got like a bout of poison ivy or something, but it was on the back of my neck, and it was itching real bad. And so I commanded it to leave, and based upon the stripes of Jesus, And I think this is connected with, you know, some things that he is bringing me through or showing me. but it didn't it wouldn't go. It would come and then it would go. It'd come and then it would go. And it was like bouts of it that I it would that would last, and it just lasted for like a couple weeks. And I was reading, I don't know where I saw it, but excuse me, I read about a clip. I listened to a clip, I think it was popped up on YouTube or something that I saw, and this person was using hydrogen peroxide to treat something or whatever, and he gave a whole description of it, you know, what it was and this and that. And I got to thinking about that.
Uh-oh.
Your
Sorry,
body absorbing. I'm sorry.
you're okay now. You froze up there for a couple of seconds,
Oh, I
about
did.
5 seconds. Yeah, you look better now.
I didn't feel it. So
Didn't feel it.
I read this thing about, anyways, about the hydrogen peroxide. You heard that, right? Okay. So I thought, well, you know, I'm going to try it. And I put it on the back of my neck. And I did that for, oh, 10 times or something like that. And sure enough, it left my neck. It left. I thought, that's interesting. And the next morning, it showed up on my arms. And the interesting thing that hit me was, you know what? That's not a malady of my physical body. That is a an intelligence. In other words, you're the way it came to me, or the way that I saw it, is your body, my body, our bodies are nothing but flesh and bone, flesh and blood. You know, it's just physical. It's meat on bones. It's the automobile that we're riding around in on this earth. You know, it's carrying us. It doesn't have the ability to think for itself. And that malady or that infirmity or whatever that was, it shifted. It had the mind to shift. And I was thinking about that, the mind of the flesh. And I pondered that, you know, I was thinking about that for a while, and I realized that where is that mind of the flesh located? That mind of the flesh is not in the body, it's not in the physical body, it's in our soul. And so I realized that poison ivy, or I'm just going to say itching, is not a factor of the physical body. It's a factor of the soul. And so if it is an intelligence or a mind, then, and if it has the mind to actually avoid one place in your body and go to another place in your body. If it is a mind, then it can be changed or corrected or eliminated by a mental what am I trying to say? A mental action. It's a spiritual action. It can be changed by words. It can be changed by a spiritual action. And I so and I realized that healing, I know there's the aspect, that healing comes through the spirit. The healing of our body comes by believing that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. And it's a spiritual activity or exercise or however you want to say it. It is believing a word, which is all spiritual. There's nothing physical about it. It's believing spirituals. And I guess what it showed me is that there not only has to be a believing of God's word in our spirit, but there has to be a confirmation and an overcoming of the an overcoming of the resistance of that truth in the soul. And I think this is where the confession of our faith comes through, because obviously we confess the truth that is in our heart with our mouth, which sends that truth right through the soul and through the body. So anyway, I guess what I was seeing there is that connection just because it became very vivid to me at that time. I don't know if it was a revelation or whatever, but it was just a recognition that this thing that I was experiencing is not a thing of the flesh, not a thing of my body. It's a thing of that is connected there with my soul. And as I got to thinking about it, I was thinking about these med beds. Did I say med ved? Whatever. And I believe that there the reality of that is that they have proven, when this is revealed to the public, that the technology of frequency harmonization with your body, with the resonant frequency of your body, can bring forth healing. It is something that is happening in the body itself, in the physical body. And I believe, David is saying, this is just a God's grace to basically to keep people alive so that they can see the real truth of Jesus, the real faith of healing. Because even a med bed, if it heals the body, It only has the ability to heal the body. It doesn't have the ability to change the soul or the spirit. And without the of course, born again experience in the spirit and the overcoming of the spirit that's where healing really comes through, is through the spirit passing through the soul and solidifying that truth in the healing of the body. So the med bed solution is only a temporary solution to people, because if the spirit and the soul of that person are not in unity with God's word and God's truth related to healing, the healing that takes place in the body will not be able to be maintained or kept, I guess you might say. And it kind of makes sense to me because of the, many of the examples of the healing ministries of the past, etc., they were, based upon people going to a person that is a known healer and going and receiving healing and that sort of thing. Now, Michael has more experience in that than certainly I do, but there was in that realm of Christianity, there are people that go receive their healing and they're healed for a while and then it dissipates and they lose that. And I'm sure, and of course that's where all these people that talk about, that healer didn't work, he's fish oil, it really didn't work or whatever. But there's an aspect of the spirit and soul that has to be, I believe, in conjunction or in unity with that healing in order to maintain it. Does that make sense? Or what do you think, Michael?
Well, from what I've read about the med beds, and I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but they are seeing considerable miracles. People with terminal cancer being completely healed, no sign of cancer whatsoever. They have also had people who had legs missing, parts of their legs missing, that were regenerated, that restored it through the med beds. As far as if they keep it or not, I don't know. We don't hear anything about that. I have never heard them say that they had a that it came back upon them. So I don't know about that. As far as the other, somebody praying for someone and it coming back on them, it's because they don't understand the faith confession. And they have to, when that thing's, I've told people before, after I prayed for them and they got healed, I said, look, that demon is going to go out there. He's going to do a wheelie and come back and try to see if you're going to keep your healing by your faith. A lot of people, well, it didn't work. A lot of people do that. It didn't work, so I guess I'm going to have to live with it. No, what you do is you rebuke it and tell it, you will not come back upon me because I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, and I'm not going to allow it. And that's what you have to tell them, because it will come back if you let it. It almost invariably, it'll try to come back upon you.
And so most of Most of the
Go ahead.
people that, let's just say, back in the Oral Roberts days or something, where people would come forward or and they would get healed and receive a healing, and then they're off, they're gone. And there wasn't, I don't think, the ability through that environment to really teach people the spiritual truths behind that and what is necessary, to hold on to it and to keep it. Like you say, they received their healing and they walked out, and probably within, the majority within a few days or weeks, lost it or returned,
Well, that's why you always have to tell them, that's the enemy's job, is to come back and take away what God has given you. They want to take it back away to make you look like a whatever. And but that's why you always have to tell them. That's what we always did. We always said Lake did it. He would tell them, you've got to continue your warfare against these demonic entities. Because that's their job, is to make you look like a fool. You have to do that. Lake did it. Hagen did it. He always taught before he healed, and that's the best way to do it, is to teach people about faith and how you have to keep confessing, keep confessing. Every night you should. Hagen, let's see, a lot more does. Kerr Blake does it. He teaches a lot about faith, and you have to confess the word of God over yourself continuously. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
No, actually, quite a few scriptures were going through my head too when Pat was talking and when you were just talking now. And I think a really good scripture is Ephesians 2:10, because whose workmanship are we? We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God afore prepared. He's prepared it and he's given it to you, that we should walk in. And I think that kind of answers everything with what Michael or Pat just said about the healing. And one God and Father who is over all, in all, and through all. And that's in 4 and 4 of 4 and 6 of Ephesians. And not only so, but there's always the nice one in Second Corinthians 6:16, 17 and 18.
Your volume is way low, Andrew. Can't hardly hear you.
Not only that, it's also in Second Corinthians 6:16, 17 and 18 on how God's your sanctuary. He says, I will dwell in them and walk. So I think the Lord is walking with us. Can two walk together lest they agree? That's the whole idea. These words were just popping into my head. Like, I've had stuff like that happen to me too, where I prayed for something in a certain area and then it kind of moved over to the other side, and I was going, no, I know this is fake, and prayed against it. And but why it returns, like, that's some good advice there to keep continuing. I've never used that verse in that way before. It just came to me when you were speaking, Michael, that we're God's workmanship, and he's over all, in all, and through all. So if there's something for a person who is called to partake of Christ, is Christ ailed? No, he's not. We are partakers of Christ. if, and that's in faith, and we actually partake of God's faith. And because Jesus said that after he killed the fig tree, he said, have God's faith, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence through, I think it's either Christ's faith or God's faith there. And that's God's plan in Ephesians 3:11 and 12. So all of this word is you can collate it with that word there in Luke 1:37, for no word of God shall be void of power, and there's lots of power verses, there's since his divine power hath given to us all things pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. So you have this calling, and we've got the glory and the virtue. We want to glorify God. We should continue to believe in our God. But like there's so many people with these mantras that, oh, he's a charlatan, or he's not doing it right, or something's wrong here, or oh, that's not for us, that only happened way back then, or all these other things that go through your head, or you might think, because, well, you kind of made these people not feel right, because and they're supposed to be Christians, that's what the apostles said to Jesus about the Pharisees. You offended the Pharisees there, Jesus. So we get some of these same things I kind of see happening again over and over again, and I have to be trained by the Lord, and we all do. And the training, the good training, is supposed to be the Word of God, because that's who Jesus is. He's the name called the Word of God. Living is the Word of God and active. So there's in him we live, move, and have our being. It's more than Greek poetry, because I know it's in the book of Acts somewhere. So and that's the advice that Paul gave to the people, admonishing them. And if you're crucified with Christ, and it is no longer you that live, but Christ that lives in you, and the life that I live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. I want that echoed throughout the whole Christendom, but if they want to depend on the viewpoint of what Pat made there, is really good. There's no spirit in them. There's no maybe there is a latent image of some sort of the overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, but they don't fully understand that, and they do get healed for a while. I don't really know what happens in those cases. But what it is, I believe, is there needs to be that authority that the Lord has given you as his baby, his little child, his child, and his son and daughters. And it's something that we need to profess and continue. I don't know if we get this whatever it might be that interferes with us is just that it. That's it. It's interfering with us, and it should be brought into its place, because we have authority to tread upon that serpent and scorpion. I don't know if everyone is alert or awake, because we have to be awake in our salvation, so that it could be nearer than when we first heard. And we have to be exposed to that love of the Lord so much that the obedience takes us over. I'm under the effect of every word read, every word heard, every word spoken, and every word that pops into your head has a spirit attached to it. I learned that very early when I started to come to UBN. And those ones that you can identify that pop into your head that interfere, which are temptations, then you know to put that down. But are they making a way in from some sort of back way or back door that you haven't really closed off yet, or is there something else interfering with this? I don't know if it's just society or if it's if it is anything, then the Lord has to reveal it to us according to what it says in Philippians chapter 3, because he said he would reveal it to you. There, in a certain verse, I can't remember how it goes exactly, but the Lord reveals to you what you need to know. And of course, that revelation or revealing to you in that verse in chapter 3 of Philippians has to also coincide with what John told us in the Gospels, that he sends the Holy Spirit in his name, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit in his name, who teaches us all things and reminds us of what he taught us. For what purpose is the reminder? What purpose is the time we live in now? They're building a new world order, as our prime minister said. And they're talking about a new age. But I would bear the question that back in the days of King Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, did he really know that God was making his new world order back then? And what about today? These people who are in government should be very careful on how they approach the future. That's sort of a given, I would think, for anyone who wants to think properly. Anyways, and how many different times gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, and now the iron and clay. When the bad guy's fully finished, then he's toe-to-toe with the guy who has the sandals of peace, the corporate body of the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the snow-white garment of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, and the sandals of peace, which put you off the earth. They have feet that touch the earth, and it's partially clay anyway. And they're not going to agree with each other, the iron and clay. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. That's the iron and clay. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
So I guess I didn't finish. I started, but I didn't finish what I was thinking and how Andrew reminded me of it. And that is, there's a tendency I know in me to that when I feel a certain inadequacy or lack of power or opposition of some sort, and my failure in that to stand up in faith or to, respond in faith, there's a tendency to think, the problem is out there, or it's the devil, trying to beat me down or whatever. I mean, the Psalms are literally full of it. But this little exercise that or revelation that I saw, solidified the understanding that the problem is not out there, it's in here, it's at the soul level. The mind of the flesh, that's not out there, that's in here. And it's the, let's just say, the inability to withstand or to stand in the face of opposition or fear or intimidation or lack of boldness or however you want to put it. That's not something out there. It's something in here. It's in that soul. It's in my soul. And this is the, when Andrew mentioned about, where does that come to? Did something come in? Did I hear something different, or did I believe something that where did that come from? Did it come in or whatever? Well, my experience was that, the Lord, Father gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And the flip side of that coin, of course, is if he's guiding us into all truth, he's guiding us or leading us out of all deception. The first step of that leading, of course, was our born again revelation of who Jesus is and our acceptance and crying out for him, or however the Lord touched your heart to make that happen and make that transition. That was, a spiritual action, a spiritual thing that took place. But that was the starting point. That wasn't the, he is the author and the finisher, meaning he started something and now he's going to finish it, And the finishing part takes a little bit longer than the starting part did. So the point being, what was the point? Is that the issue, the overcoming aspect is inside. It's something that, when you read Smith Wigglesworth, or if you've read Curry Blake's testimony related to the things that he was learning and how he, especially I'm thinking of the healing of his daughter. I've told this story, and if you've read that story, his daughter fell off a second floor balcony, when she was small, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old or somewhere around in there, fell off and smashed her face completely in, and she was, bleeding and blood out, and she was dead. It killed her. And he took her inside the house, and of course he was learning these things about healing, and he took her in the house and he propped her up against the wall, and all he could say was, "You shall live and not die. You shall live and not die. You shall live and not die." And he was screaming it. "You will live and not die," to the point where it aroused the attention of his family upstairs, and they piled down the stairs and find out what was going on. And of course, they saw the scene, and they started screaming and crying and everything. And he turned around and he said, "Shut up. If you can't believe, leave." And he turned back around and said, "You will live and not die." And he said he did that for probably 20 minutes until she choked and spit up blood and came back to life. And he took her to the hospital, etc. That was boldness that was in him that overcame the soul life that functions within each and every one of us, trying to tell us that Christ, God does not exist. God will not rescue you. God is not your refuge. You're going to lose. You're going to, and all the various things that the mind of the flesh throws at you in order to weaken your stand and your faith. And the only way, I believe, to overcome that is through the blood of the Lamb, our salvation and God's mercy in granting us salvation, and our confession of that before the law, the testimony of the saints. And he's given that to each and every one of us. I am just learning. It seems like the more I go on with the Lord, the less I find that I really know. I'm back to square one again, But praise the Lord. If we have time later, I'd like to read. I read a couple pages of Prison to Praise. There was a couple stories in there that I think would be beneficial if someone wants to listen. Anyway.
Amen. All right, let me go ahead and play this music that I've got lined up for tonight. I think you'll enjoy it. And as far as Curry, one thing that if you noticed in that story that he told, it was no give up attitude. He wasn't giving it up. He did not give up. He just went on and on and on and on. And his wife would come down and try to talk him out of it. He said, "No, just like you said, if you can't believe with me, get out of here." He said, "I don't need this." And he just kept on and kept on and kept on until that baby coughed up. By the way, I met her. She was 21 at the time that I met her. That's been years ago. Yeah, she was going around with Curry helping him at that time. Well, okay, y'all, get ready. This is some knee-slapping gospel coming up here. I'm telling you, that's a Holy Ghost gospel. Glory be to God.
Christ is moving our way, no dead religion, no. Hearts were set free. Tears turned into shouting. Victory filled the streets. The devil lost another one. Salvation filled the air. And the fire of God was burning. Let his praises ring.
listen, the weary found their strength. The lost came running home again, their sins were washed away. Every voice united, every heart aflame. There's power in the blood and power in his name. The enemy was trembling, darkness had to flee. When God's people started worshiping in sweet unity, the Spirit kept on moving like the rushing wind of old, and every soul surrendered to his mighty control. Christ is moving our way. No dead religion, no empty form. The fire of God is raging like a mighty storm.
Hey, hallelujah.
Hey,
praise his name. Hey, hallelujah.
Jesus
is the same. Holy Ghost fire
falling from above.
Holy Ghost fire
burning with God's love. Lift your hands higher. Woo! Let his praises ring. The King of glory's in the house in heaven.
Listen, there is...
I started to let that one go too, but I better give you some more time. I love that song. That's a good one. Is anybody, nobody was getting up. I was surprised. Andrew, you should have been up screaming, boy. I hear me.
All I was right. Toe-tapping, Michael. I was toe-tapping.
Okay. Toe-tapping's allowed. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Pat. You want to do something?
Yeah, I was... I noticed Joe's question there in the chat. It said, Isn't MedBed a type of medicine relying on the world to heal without dealing with the cause of the problem? I believe that is true, except for the fact that the technology is not pharmakia. It's not drugs, is one difference. And I think the second part of his question is kind of what I was saying before, and that is it's a temporary fix of the body, of the physical body. But if the Holy Spirit, God's healing is healing through the spirit, passing through the soul to the body. It corrects the malady that Joe was talking about. It doesn't deal with the, he said it heals without dealing with the cause of the problem. Of course, the gospel and the healing word of the Lord deals with the problem, because it deals with the problem. But I believe that it, when this is introduced, that it is a temporary grace, I guess you might say, to allow people to live, a healing. It's not going to be the healing that is of the permanent state, but it will correct, the physical ailments, physical problems, and that's kind of what I'm thinking. I did want to read something I was reading, trying to get through the Prison to Praise book here, and I wanted to read a couple. This was the last chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I wanted to read a couple of the stories because it's very encouraging. And of course, and I haven't actually even finished this chapter, but the name of the chapter is Praise Him. It's Prison to Praise. It's Praise Him portion. And I've been reading a lot, especially through the Psalms, and where it's talking about thanksgiving and praise. And I think there is a separate aspect to praise, a separate power connected with praise, and a separate power connected with thanking God, thanksgiving. This portion that I'm going to read you relates to the thanking of God. I think, isn't it? And might be way off on this. I think it's First Thessalonians 5. Give thanks for all things, I believe, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Well, Merlin was learning these things at this time. I'm trying to find this portion here. I'm going to read this one here. I'll just start discovering, this is chapter 8. I wanted to share it with someone. It was as if God was saying, hold it, this isn't the time. When Ron came to see me about his problem, did I read this already? By the way, does this sound familiar? No, okay, I did. Sometimes I get a little lost in the sauce here and forget if I've read this before or whatever. Anyway, when Ron came to see me about his problem, he was the picture of misery and despair. Chaplain, you've got to help me. When I was drafted, my wife tried to commit suicide. Now I've received orders for Vietnam, and she says that if I go, she'll kill herself. What can I do? Ron was an attorney and a member of the Bar Association, but he had been drafted and preferred to join the Army as a private. Now he was obviously distraught and unable to handle the situation with his wife. Ron, have your wife come and see me and I'll see what I can do. Sue was also a picture of misery. Her body was frail and she sat on the edge of the chair, trembling from head to foot. Tears flowed uncontrollably down her face. Chaplain, her voice was barely audible. I'm scared. I can't live without Ron. I looked at her in a wave of compassion, brought tears to my eyes. I knew Sue's story. She had been adopted as a baby and was estranged from her adopted family and had no one in the world except Ron. The two of them were very much in love, and I knew that if Ron went to Vietnam, Sue would stay alone in a rented room in a strange town. I prayed silently for wisdom to comfort her. Tell her to be thankful. I shook my head in disbelief. I must have heard something wrong. Her, Lord? Yes, you may begin to share with her. I looked at Sue's tearful face and my heart sank. Okay, Lord, I'll trust you. Sue, I'm glad you came, I said, smiling with confidence I didn't feel. You don't have anything to worry about. Everything is going to be all right. Sue straightened herself, wiped away her tears, and managed to tremble a little smile. I continued, what I want you to do is to kneel here with me and thank God that Ron is going to Vietnam. She looked at me in blank disbelief. I nodded, yes, Sue, I want you to thank God. She immediately began to weep almost hysterically. I calmed her as best I could and began reading to her from the Bible the verses I had learned to trust in over the past few months. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Carefully, I tried to show her the wonderful truths I had found to be real. Nothing seemed to help. Sue believed in God and in Christ, but in her despair, her belief was of no comfort. Finally, she left my office crying with no peace of mind and certainly no joy. Lord, have I completely misunderstood you? That girl wasn't helped a bit. Patience, son, I'm working. The next day, Ron came to my office. Chaplain, what did you tell Sue? She's worse than she was before. I told Sue the solution to her problem, and now I'll tell you. I want you to kneel down and thank God that you're going to Vietnam and that Sue is so upset that she is threatening to kill herself. Ron didn't see my point either. Carefully, we went over the scriptures. This is the will of God concerning you. Ron said, Now I understand why Sue didn't understand. I don't understand either, and he left. 2 days later, they came back. Sir, we are desperate. You must do something to help us. They were both hoping that I, as a chaplain, would be able to put in a plea for another assignment for Ron. Again, I explained to them the only solution God was letting me hold up before them. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. If you can only believe that God is really working this thing out for you, for the best, for both of you, then all you have to do is trust him and begin to thank him, regardless of what the situation looks like. Ron and Sue looked at each other What do we have to lose, honey? Ron said, we knelt and Sue prayed. Lord, I thank you that Ron is going to Vietnam. It must be your will. I sure you don't understand, but I'll try. Then Ron prayed. Lord, this is very strange to me too, but I trust you. Thank you that I am going to Vietnam and that Sue is so upset. Thank you that she might even try to hurt herself. I had a feeling Ron and Sue were not as convinced as I was, but I thanked the Lord that they were trying. They left my office, and later I heard what had happened. Ron and Sue had gone into the chapel and knelt together at the altar. There they had turned their lives and each other over to God in a deeper commitment than ever before. And now Sue had the strength to pray, God, I thank you that Ron is going to Vietnam. You know how I will miss him. You know I don't have a father or a mother or a brother or a sister. Excuse me, or a family of any kind. I will trust you, Lord. Ron prayed, God, I thank you. I give Sue over to you. She is yours, and I trust you to take care of her. With that, they rose from the altar. Ron went through the chapel and headed for his unit, while Sue came back to the waiting room next to my office. She needed to sit quietly and collect her thoughts. While she sat there, a young soldier came in and asked her for the chaplain. Sue told him that I was busy, but if you wait for a little while, I'll tell him you're here, she offered. I'll wait, said the young soldier. He looked distressed, and Sue asked, what is your problem? My wife wants a divorce. Sue shook her head. It won't do much good to see that chaplain, she said, but the soldier wasn't easily discouraged. And while they were there waiting, he took out his billfold and began to show Sue pictures of his wife and children. When he turned to the next picture, Sue screamed, who is that? That's my mother. She said, that's my mother, said Sue, shaking with emotion. That couldn't be, the soldier replied. I don't have a sister. It is. I know it is. What makes you think that? When I was a little girl, I happened to find a piece of paper in my parents' desk that showed I was adopted. In the upper right-hand corner was a picture of my real mother. That's her. It's the same lady. And it was. Further checking revealed that Sue had been promised for adoption before she was born, and her natural mother had never seen her. She had no idea where Sue was and had never heard anything about her since the day she was born. Now Sue had a brother, a real brother, and with him came a whole family. Was it coincidence? There are more than 200 million people in the United States. Of course, this was in the 60s. What would be the odds against that particular soldier walking in the door to my office just as Sue had made a covenant with God to praise him for her loneliness and lack of family? But that wasn't all. As Ron walked back into his unit, he ran into an old friend from law school who was now a legal officer. Hi, old buddy, where are you going? He said as he met Ron. Praise God, I'm going to Vietnam, Ron answered. They talked some more, and the friend persuaded Ron to ask for a transfer so that he could work with him in the legal office. Ron and Sue did not have to be separated, and no longer did Sue have to cling to Ron in the fear of losing him. She had come to have joy, a joyous confidence in Jesus Christ, and went about everywhere praising him. So I'm going to stop there. I just thought that was, I experienced that in the, I know, as probably everybody here has, I've experienced that same thing when I realized that scripture of giving God thanks, even in the midst of trying circumstances, and as I'm sure everyone has found out, that scripture doesn't say be thankful, even though we should. It's a command to give God thanks. Give him thanks for all things, for he works all things out for the good to those that love him. So anyway, I just thought I'd like to share that.
Yeah, that's a wonderful story out of that book. I was just looking to see if I still had mine up there, and I said, still up there. That was a great book. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Missy.
Pat, what exactly was the name of that again? I might have it too, but I can't remember what you, I didn't catch what you said. What book is it?
It's Prison to Praise, Merlin Crothers.
Mm-hmm. It's not the tiny little one?
It could be. The one I have is small. It's a paperback, yeah. And it's only like, 80 pages? There it is. Michael's got it.
Oh, it's that one?
Yeah.
The heaven to hell thing?
Well, this is heaven to hell. That's not the same one he's talking about. Prison. What is it, Matt? Pat?
It's called Prison to Praise.
Yeah,
matter
I've
of fact,
got
I have. Yeah, I've got a picture. Am I on? Am I muted?
No, go ahead. You may begin.
Picture of the book. I scanned it into my computer so I could have it on my computer read. And carry a book with me. Yeah, it's good. It's a good book. I was looking, when I was reading it, I was looking for the story. And I think David gave an example. I think I brought this up a couple weeks ago. And I thought it was from Merlin Brothers, who told the story. It was a story or example or a dream or a vision that he had or something, that it was telling, that giving the example that most Christians don't enter into the victory that God has provided us in Christ, because they don't make it through to attain, apprehend is the word I'm thinking, apprehend that concept or that truth of praise and praise and thanksgiving. And he used an example of a guy climbing a ladder and, you know, going towards heaven, climbing the ladder, etc. And then he got into the clouds, and many of people, once they get in the clouds and they lose sight of faith or sight of God, they get weak and they lose and they drop down. They never make it through that process of praise. You know what? If you don't mind, I'll read a verse that the Lord has brought to my attention, and this may be connected with this phrase as well, and it's in Psalm 18. And in verse 1, it says, this is a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I will take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And that's the connector right there. I will call who is worthy to be praised on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. There's a connection there. We're calling upon the Lord and praising him and being saved as a result of it. And this is the thing that the Lord is showing me. Where was David at this time in the midst of this prayer, in the midst of this praise? Well, in verse 1, it says, he spoke the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him. It wasn't after the Lord delivered him. It was in the day. And where was he at? Where? What was the position of his mindset or his attitude or his where he in his spirit? Where was he at in the time? Well, I'll tell you where the Lord showed me where he was at. The cords of death compassed me, and floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Yes, he was riding on his high tower, all right. He was in a part of him was shaking in his boots. He was afraid. The floods of ungodliness was overwhelming him. The cords of Sheol were round about me. The snares of death came upon me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry before him came into his ears. David was learning this, was learning to praise God even in the midst of his lack, in the midst of his appearance of defeat and destruction. And it was in that time, in that very environment, where David learned to cry out to God and to praise him for his salvation at that time. And I believe this correlates with the story, if I'm going to try to find that story, where Merlin is talking about climbing that ladder, that ladder, Jacob's ladder, maybe that ladder into the clouds, into the heavenlies, and that place of praise in the midst of darkness. You know, there's a scripture. I think it's in. I think it's a proverb. Long time ago, the Lord showed me, and I'm going to have to spit it out here in a paraphrase because I don't remember exactly where it was at, but it's a proverb, and he says, go to the ant, sluggard, even without an overseer or lord, that ant still makes. It still does its thing. It still moves. It still functions according to law, according to the word. It's still according to God's plan. That ant still functions in a certain way, even having no Lord or overseer. And when you are in times of inner darkness, I'll say, desperation, feeling that you're missing God or you're lacking God, or you can't hear the voice of the Lord, or the presence of the Lord seems to be very far away. It's only that sense within you that is making you feel that God is not there with you. And he said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Even though you don't sense God is there, he is there. So we have to learn, I believe, to praise him and thank him and trust his word, whether we feel it or not. We feel his presence or not. Trust him and reach out and give him thanks, even in the apparent opposition of positive results, but to trust him that all things work together for them that love God, for he loves us. So anyway, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise you, Lord. Glory be to God. I'll put in the chat 1 John 4, verses 16 through 19, that we can go over Thursday night. And there's some questions that you might look at. Why is it that fear leaves when the perfect love comes in? And that's just one. There's a lot. This has got a lot in it. So if you would, just take a look at that, and let's try to discuss it Thursday night, if you'd like. All right. Anybody else got anything that they would like to share? Yeah, Andrew.
What was that reference where there is no fear in perfect love?
I can't hear you. What?
Where was that reference? There is no fear in perfect love.
No, 1 John 4:16-19. And it says, herein is love made perfect in with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath punishment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Of course, we know the stock answers, but let's just take a look at this. All right. Anybody else got something? That praise book is real good about showing what happens when you do praise God. That's a good book. It's a real good book. I've got it up there. I've got that one, and I've got another one of his, too. It's all on praises. He's had great success in it. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up tonight. Puts me back on doing the praise again. Go ahead, Jenny.
What is that verse? It's like we've been commanded to praise God in all things, for this is the will of God. Where's that at? But this is the will of God. Thank God. We're to thank God in all things, for this is the will of God. I think it's one of Paul's epistles.
I thought it was in Thessalonians. I'm not sure, one or two, though.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in all things and we thank you in all things.
Amen. Yes, we do. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. You know, I just go around thanking God. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful weather. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. I let me tell y'all something, what's happened to us here. We live on, as you know, we live on top of a mountain. And we've got woods all around us. And before this year, we could look through the woods at night and see the traffic down on the highway, which is quite a ways down. And there's an intersection there as Highway 72 comes up to 411. And you can see the traffic. And I can tell you, with the rain that we've had here this year, just this year, the foliage is like a jungle out there. You can't walk through these woods now, whereas before it was very sparse. This year, the trees are just hiding everything. They're hiding everything. The crops are the best crops I've ever seen in this area. And when I went to Arkansas last week before last, all the way, I go the length of Tennessee when I go to Arkansas. And you know, Tennessee's a long 500 miles. Yeah. And all the crops look good. And when I got into Arkansas, man, it looked like the Garden of Eden. You know what I'm saying? The best. I talked to my brother. I'd gone down. He farms the land, the farm, the family farm. And I talked with him. I said, what kind of crops you got this year? He said, Michael, he said, I ain't never seen nothing like it before. He said, this is the best crop we've ever had so far, if we can just get it out. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow all the farmers to get their crops out this year. And I thank you for it. And I bet you got the same thing up there in Iowa, Julie. They've been getting rain up there too, haven't they? Yeah. I've been getting a lot of rain everywhere. I know that the deep state is doing a lot of this, but in some cases, it's doing a perfect job. Gardens are putting out like they've never been before. We have a community here called the Plains People. It's kind of an offshoot of the Amish. And they are just loaded down with vegetables this year. They have, all of them have vegetables, and they do certain things, and some of them have animals. I'll tell you something else. The other day, I was walking. We have a lot of deer around here, okay? But I've never seen the deer like I saw a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I was out at one of the parks here, Museum Park over Sequoia. And I had just gotten out of my truck and walked in about 100 foot, and there were two huge white-tailed deer, probably anywhere from, and I may be exaggerating a little bit, but to me, that's what it looked like. They were still in velvet. The horns were still in velvet. It was anywhere from a 12 to a 14 or 16 point deer, identical. And the deer weighed probably somewhere around 200 pounds. That's a big deer for a whitetail. That's a big deer. And these were huge. And I fumbled around. I dropped my phone. I was going to get a good picture of it. And they was gone by the time they were gone. But they were huge. I've never seen deer whitetail that big before. Here. I've seen them in Arkansas, but not here. But God is doing a work here. I'm telling you, squirrels all over the place, rabbits all over the place. Deer, coons, just rabbits. Yeah, that's all good. It looks like, I don't know what God fixed the plan to do, but he's getting us ready for something. Has anybody had any news on earthquakes? What's going around? Anybody heard anything anymore? Is California experiencing any of the smalls? Just normal?
Yeah, just normal. There's small ones all the time out here.
Yeah.
I haven't felt anything.
Yeah, and a good price on their crops. That's right. They need a good price on the crop. Let me tell you something. When I was farming back in the 70s, I could buy a combine for anywhere from $14,000, $15,000, $16,000. You know what they are now?
Couple hundred thousand at least.
How many million, Michael?
No, it's not quite a million yet, but it's around 500,000 now for a combine. Yeah, you got to have combines to get your crops out. The last time I was up there, which was a few years ago, up at my brother's place, he had just bought two international combines on tracks. We raise rice, and you have to have tracks. You don't have to, but that's what he's got. And they were $250,000. That was just a few years ago. Yeah, Andrew.
Do they still have those guys who have combines and go from farm to farm?
Do they have what?
Or hiring them to use their combines?
Yeah, yeah. Well, most our farm is all in one big plot. It's one big what plot of grain. You don't have to get on the highway to go anywhere. Oh. You know, got I don't know how many acres he's farming it right now. He can transport them to another farm. He rents land, that's the way too, that he can put it on a trailer and haul it over there. But yes, you can put tires on them too. You can put tires on them also.
And does he lease out that combine to other farmers that don't have combines to so that they can rent it?
No. The reason I'm laughing is you pay that much money for a combine, you don't lease it out. You hold on to it. You might go over there and have your men. These combines they got now, Pat, are computer controlled. You have to go to college in order to operate them. My brother told me that, and I said, let me get up there and try that thing. He said, you keep out of there. He said, you can't. He said, you can't operate that thing. He said, I can't operate that thing. He said, they're too complicated. I said, I bet I could do that. He said, you ain't going to try because I ain't going to unlock it. But it's a completely different ball game from 40 years ago. Completely different ball game. But rice is like $7, $8 a bushel now, where back when I was farming, it was $2.50 or something like that, you know. So everything's gone up. Everything. Yeah, Missy.
Merle and I came across the a place alongside the road that was selling corn, and we went and got some, and it was $5 for half a dozen and $9 for a whole dozen. What's it cost down there?
You know? We were able to get it at Walmart the other day, 3 years for $1.
Yeah, I know you can get it in the grocery store cheaper, but this is like right from the farmer or whatever. And for some reason, that's more expensive than if you go and get it at the grocery store. Yeah, I've gotten it three for $1 too.
Yeah, that's because it's fresh. It's right off the stalk, you know. I guess. I don't know. How much were you paying?
I got a half a dozen. It was $5. That's what it was supposed to be. But when I counted it, then it was 8 years instead of six ears. So I was like, thank you, Lord, for the two bonus, you know, but it was supposed to be, it was $9 for a whole dozen. Now, the boys, as a matter of fact, the boys that were there in the wagon or whatever with the corn.
You better hurry. We're out of time.
they had picked it, and then they went and sold it. They look like high school kids. And I actually gave them a tract. I gave each of them one of the tracts, and they were interested. My thought is they must be Christians already or something, because they were standing there. We were walking away, and they were both standing there reading it, you know. And I said to Merle, just said, "Did you see them reading it?" He goes, "Yeah." I was like surprised, you know. I was like, "Praise the Lord, bless them, Lord, learn them something, give them some real truth, Lord." Thank you, Lord. Anyway, okay.
All right. Y'all be blessed. Yeah.